80 degrees right now at News Radio 1070 WKOK, 68% relative humidity. Thank heaven we have a 5-mile-per-hour breeze right now.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the Sunbury Motors Studio is on the road today. Sunbury Motors Studio from Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. It is great to have you with us. Why are we at Medler Field, Lebrano Park today? Because minor league baseball in our area has kicked into another gear. And we're thrilled about that, to get it kicked into another gear for this upcoming season. And we're going to have several people on the show today, including Chuck Greenberg, the managing general partner of the State College Spikes. We'll also have on Jason Dombach, who is the general manager of the Spikes, Joe Putnam on the broadcast side. Dave Turgeon is the manager of the Spikes this season. We'll hear from Jared Lykin, the first baseman of the Spikes, somebody who went out and, of all things in his life, went from high school to minor league baseball and jumped right into it. We will hear from all of them and much more during the course of the show today. We're looking forward to it very, very much. To really run down everything that is going on in minor league baseball, what's become really a great experience across the state for so many people that have really enjoyed the experience over a period of time. And that's what minor league baseball has been all about. Really, Pennsylvania was not a great minor league baseball was not really a great minor league baseball hotbed for a long period of time. That's really changed dramatically in this state in the last 15 to 20 years, where we have seen a dramatic change in how people look at minor league baseball, how attractive it's become. And let's face it, you look at the Phillies. Let's start with the Phillies and what they have done. With the Phillies, they have done a great job of keeping their minor league system at home. And that has made a huge difference in what they've been able to do. They have kept their minor league system essentially at home. At one point, they had Scranton-Wilkes-Barre. But then that dramatically changed with Scranton-Wilkes-Barre eventually moving to Lehigh Valley. They've had Reading the entire time. They have Williamsport, obviously, in this system. So by having their New York Penn League team, their Double-A team, and their Triple-A all within hailing distance of the ballpark at Citizens Bank Park, fans are now able to watch, and we watch them grow before our very eyes, what they have as they move through the system. And that's the part that I think people have found to be really exciting and intriguing about minor league baseball. And so you get to watch guys literally grow up before your eyes. And that has been a huge plus, I think, for so many people when they've had an opportunity, obviously, to see minor league baseball. And I think the experience has been, for them, fun. Now, for example, let's give you an example. Ryan Howard. You would have seen him in Reading, right? You would have seen him there. Now, you couldn't have seen him when he first started out. That's when they had it at Batavia. But that's all changed. And that's, again, the ability of teams who finally figured it out along the line that there's a model that you can have in minor league baseball that gets people to the park. So you have an opportunity to see them, talk with them, and really watch them grow before your eyes. And you say, well, I remember once when, blah, 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 and then you start going to it as to you know, when you have these people, you know, around you, and watch them play. They brag now here in State College about 14 players making it now to the major league level out of this organization, 9 of them from the very first team they had here in State College. In fact, they can now brag here in State College that the final pitch of the 2011 World Series was thrown by Jason Mott, State College Spike, and caught by Alan Craig in left field, State College Spike. And the fans around here enjoy that very much. Williamsport has a deep and incredible heritage. And they have risen Williamsport and minor league baseball has been a great combination over the years. And last night I was at historic Bowman Field, and to see everything, you know, start out for the season. And Williamsport has an incredible, cherished history of minor league baseball. Historic Bowman Field's 86 years old. It is the second oldest ballpark being used. The second oldest ballpark being used. And that is something that only Centennial Field in Vermont has more. But the history of baseball in Williamsport goes far beyond the Little League World Series. And we had Gabe Sercopi on last week talking about all of this. And, you know, minor league baseball in Williamsport, they've been affiliated with many, many teams, but they finally had the Phillies affiliation, and they love having the Phillies affiliation. It means a lot to them to have the Phillies affiliation. And it is, I think it's helped them in attendance-wise, and it's meant a tremendous amount to all of them to have that kind of affiliation and to be locked in with it. And affiliations mean a lot. And you look in this state, for example, State College, Altoona, there with Pittsburgh, Reading, Williamsport, Lehigh Valley, there with Philadelphia. And then there's Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and being affiliated with the Yankees is the right move. There are so many Yankee fans in northeastern Pennsylvania. Huge Yankee country without question. And that's, you know, it makes a big difference in what we see in this state having those affiliations. Now, Erie, I believe Erie Seawolves are the Detroit Tigers. And, of course, the Harrisburg Senators are the Washington Nationals. Now, at least Harrisburg is in that same geographic area, and I think it's a good move by the Nats to have Harrisburg and to have it in that general vicinity. But to have three affiliates of the Phillies within the system in this state and have two of them for the Pirates within this state, I think is a big plus for them because fans get a chance to watch them develop. I know that Roger and I have had many conversations. Hey, you saw this guy at Williamsport. What did you think? You saw that guy at Williamsport. What did you think? Who's an up-and-coming guy we should be looking for? I've talked about Sebastian Valle, the catcher at Reading, a couple of times this year because I saw him as an 18, 19-year-old out of Mexico, and you could see he had all the tools. It's just a question of getting older, a little bit wiser, and then developing along a period of time. And that's what was so great about seeing him. Cesar Hernandez with Reading is another guy that I think right now a lot of Philly fans need to keep a watchful eye on because of that. And so we will talk about all that and much more as we go through the afternoon about those relationships that you have in minor league baseball, what minor league baseball means, and also about the promotions that you see in minor league baseball. It's about watching baseball, but development at the same time. Is winning important? I think because of the culture that we have in this country, winning is important, but I think there's also an understanding of seeing development happen. Now, along the way, if you win some games, that's great because winning does develop some confidence as time goes. But those are some of the things that we will talk about. Jared Lykin is a high school player out of Cypress, Texas, suburb of Houston. We will come back and talk with him about his transition from high school to minor league baseball as we continue with the Steve Jones Show at the ballpark. The Sunbury Motors Studio on the road today as we continue after this on WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is going green.
Not that kind of green.
Sunbury Motors has every new vehicle on the lot clearly marked with a green sales tag. Choose from over 25 2012 Ford Escapes that get up to 28 mpg, and they start at just $19,880. And the all-new 2013 Escape is in stock for immediate delivery. The 2012 Ford Fiesta gets up to 40 mpg and starts at $13,975. The 2012 Ford Focus also gets up to 40 miles per gallon, and they're on sale as low as $14,980. SMC has the most fuel-efficient full-size truck on the market, the Ford F-150. They get up to 23 mpg, and there's over 50 F-Series to choose from, as low as $24,989. Remember, every new vehicle from Sunbury Motors gets an extra set of tires. Hurry into SMC and save some green on the most fuel-efficient vehicles during the June Green Tag Sales Event. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley and the coal region since 1915.
This is Hollywood, where anything can happen, and the fun never ends. From over 60 world-class table games, to more than 2,400 of the newest, hottest slots, and the kind of blockbuster winning you won't find anywhere else. Enjoy the award-winning Final Cut Steakhouse, and a buffet that could only be called epic. There's fabulous entertainment, and the heart-pounding thrills of live thoroughbred racing. It's the ultimate destination for fun seekers and big-time players alike, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey. Take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Have you been staring at that old cell phone wondering how much you could get for it? Of course you have. So visit eBay's very own and very popular InstantSale.com. eBay makes it easy to find out what your unwanted electronic gear and gadgets are worth. Sell them for that price right on the spot and turn them into cash. So whether you have a cell phone, iPad, game system, camera, laptop, or any one of more than 4,000 items you're no longer using, just answer a couple of quick questions and instantly get an offer price to sell your item. They'll even send you a free prepaid shipping label. Now, actual prices paid may vary based on whether the condition of the item matches the description you provided, but that's it. You could earn hundreds of dollars with eBay's Instant Sale. If your item isn't working, that's okay too. InstantSale.com will either offer you cash for broken electronics or properly recycle items without a cash value. It's a no-brainer. Turn your unwanted electronics into cash. No hassle, no waiting. See InstantSale.com for complete details. That's InstantSale.com.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow on WKOK, we have a guest co-host, Peggy Chamberlain-Roop, coming back to our studios. It's tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Welcome back to the show. We bring in Jared Lykin, the first baseman of the State College Spikes, to join us on the show today. Just 19 years of age, and at the same time, he comes in here for minicamp, and minicamp was a little different, a little compressed time zone just for you, wasn't it?
It was a lot more fun, just weather-wise, being down in Florida. You know, just real hot down there, and you come up here and you see the scenery and trying to take it all in, and just seemed like everything just flew easier, just going through a regular day. Seemed a lot easier.
In fact, manager Dave Turgeon was up here a little bit earlier, and he looked down and he says, I can't believe this view up here. So I know this is the first time you've been up here, so what do you think of this?
Yeah, I just kept daydreaming out there when I first got up here. I was like, this scenery is just unreal. On bus rides, I just keep staring out the window, just keep seeing this great view everywhere. It's awesome.
Tell us about your background a little bit, and that will explain to everybody exactly why you appreciate a view like this.
Houston. I'm outside town outside of Houston, Cypress, Texas. So kind of a big town. You don't see much like this until you start getting out into the country a little bit. But yeah, it's the weather. Definitely you appreciate it a lot more growing up playing in a 100-degree heat all day. It's feels like you're playing in air conditioning out here. So
How do you feel like your college experience, you know, prepared you for all this? Your experience, I mean, coming up here, I mean, prepare you for this to this stage.
Yeah, I was out of high school, but down in Florida, been there down there for a year and a half, and felt like they prepared me well down there. Been with Dave Turge and just everybody, coordinators and whatnot, helped me along the way, the correct way.
You come out of high school. What was draft day like for you to begin with? I mean, you know, you're a senior in high school. Yeah. You were the star. You were the man.
Yeah.
Why do Beaver Motors customers drive out in the middle of nowhere to Beaver Springs to buy cars? Is it Gilly's good looks? Or is it the outstanding service department? Is it the beautiful fields and mountains? Or the fact that no one can beat their deals? Is it my tremendous singing voice? Or their huge selection of Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram? We don't really know. But we'd like to hear your opinion. So come see the good folks at Beaver Motors, remembering that the middle of nowhere is still halfway to somewhere. And Beaver Motors Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram is halfway between Sealands Grove and Lewistown on Route 522 in Beaver Springs. Or visit us on the web, halfway between your kitchen and your dining room, at www.beavermotors.net. And tell them Walt and Gilly sent you.
No mowing, no snow removal, no worries. That's what you'll find at Oakwood Grove on Mill Road just past the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. It's maintenance-free living in these well-designed townhouses that are affordably priced and close to grocery stores and shops. See how Oakwood Grove's one- and two-story townhouses will make you feel at home. The next phase is just beginning, so don't wait to start the next chapter in your life. Be worry-free and in your new place in no time. Oakwood Grove, where life is beautiful, on Mill Road just past the Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
Built by you and for you, Evangelical Community Hospital invites you to an exclusive backstage look at the new surgical and cardiovascular expansion on Thursday, June 21st from 3 till 7 p.m. Don't miss this one and only chance to get a glimpse inside the new larger operating rooms and behind-the-scenes preview of our new cardiovascular suite. Meet our staff, tour the facility, and see for yourself what the future of community healthcare looks like. Join us Thursday, June 21st from 3 till 7 p.m. at Evangelical Community Hospital. Please use the hospital drive entrance.
Transition, what was a mini camp like up here for you that was a little bit different?
It was a lot more fun, just weather-wise, being down in Florida. You know, just real hot down there, and you come up here and you see the scenery and trying to take it all in, and just seemed like everything just flew easier, just going through a regular day seemed a lot easier.
In fact, manager Dave Turgeon was up here a little bit earlier, and he looked down and he says, I can't believe this view up here. So I know this is the first time you've been up here, so what do you think of this?
Yeah, I just kept daydreaming out there when I first got up here. I was like, this scenery is just unreal. On bus rides, I just keep staring out the window, just keep seeing this great view everywhere. It's awesome.
Tell us about your background a little bit, and that will explain to everybody exactly why you appreciate a view like this.
Houston, I'm outside of Houston, Cypress, Texas. It's a kind of a big town. You don't see much like this until you start getting out into the country a little bit. But, yeah, it's the weather, definitely you appreciate it a lot more. Growing up playing in 100-degree heat all day, it's feels like you're playing in air conditioning out here. So,
how do you feel like your college experience, you know, prepared you for all this? Your experience, I mean, coming up here, I mean, prepare you for this to this stage.
Yeah, I was out of high school, but down in Florida, been there down there for a year and a half, and felt like they prepared me well down there. Been with Dave Turge and just everybody, coordinators and whatnot, helped me along the way the correct way.
You come out of high school. Was there a big decision? What was draft day like for you to begin with? I mean, you know, you're a senior in high school. Yeah. You were the star. You were the man.
Yeah.
What was draft day like?
It was long. I was taken in the 23rd round, like everybody else that gets taken. You thought you'd go a little higher than what you expect, but looking back, I'm glad the Pirates picked me up instead of another team. Just the way they treat you like family, and the way they treat everybody the same. Nobody's treated different.
Was there any decision, any thought, well, you know what, maybe I'll go another way, another option? Or when you were drafted, you said, that's it, I'm a pro baseball player?
Yep. Before I was drafted, all I wanted to do was play pro baseball. It's like what my dad told me. He's like, if you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school. If you want to play big league baseball, you play pro baseball. So that's that really stuck with me.
Now, for you, you come out of high school. The college guys, some of them, for example, have gone through the Cape Cod League, or up in Alaska, or opening night, by the way, is at midnight. But they've had wooden experience. Before turning pro, did you have any wooden bat experience to speak of?
Yes, I did. My summer ball coach was really, really cool about me swinging a wood bat ever since I was, I would say, 15 years old. He never really wanted to. I mean, we wanted to compete and win, but on the same level, he kind of had an idea that it'd be plans beyond summer baseball for me. So he and another couple guys, he would let swing wood bats, and then like in Texas, we'd have strictly wood bat tournaments. So that's how I've always kind of swung a wood bat for a while now.
And the other part too is that pitchers, when they're facing aluminum or the hybrid, will pitch middle out.
Right.
The second they see a wooden bat, they try to claim the entire plate. So as a hitter, give us an idea of the adjustments you've had to make to that.
Not really an adjustment. It's just trying to be ready on time, be ready to hit everything. You see some of the guys trying to beat you inside, and just if you're always ready for everything, then I feel like you can hit all the whole plate.
There's also another part to it, and that is you leave Cypress, Texas, and you are out on your own. As a professional, you may see family from time to time because they keep good track of you, but still, you have to take care of yourself. You have to make sure you are at the park a little early compared to what they tell you to be.
Right.
Was that an easy part to get used to, the freedom of being on your own, but at the same time being a professional?
Yeah, I think being down in the Gulf Coast League, where we have a mandatory dorm, where you're supposed to stay, be in at 11 o'clock and be up and early and ready to go. I think that prepared me well. And on the same side, just being excited to be up here, you get to the ballpark an hour and a half before you're supposed to be an hour before. So I've been down in the clubhouse for, I'd say, since 12 o'clock, just ready to go.
I'm sure he has. He's been at the clubhouse since noon today, 3.5 hours ago. Mark Lawrence and the news coming up bottom of the hour. Then we'll
events. To sign up, visit WKOK.com, scroll down to connect, and follow the directions. Make sure your cell phone is powered on and you have an active signal. That's it. Text Connect is another way to stay informed with News Radio 1070 WKOK. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio on the road today, 4th Street in Sunbury, and also Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We are at Medlar Field, Lebrado Park. New York Penn League season began last night at beautiful Bowman Field, historic Bowman Field, where Williamsport beat State College 6-2. Tonight it's the Spikes with their home opener, and we're doing our show today from Medler Field, Lebronto Park, talking about minor league baseball in the state. We have a lot more coming up as the week goes along. We'll have one of the Pirates broadcasters on later in the week, either Greg Brown or Tim Neverett. We're also going to take a long look at Lehigh Valley. We'll have their broadcaster on, I think, probably tomorrow. So, and Dave Joyner is next week, and Matt McGloin is also coming up on our roster as well of people that we're going to have on the show. But today we focus just a bit on minor league baseball. Dave Turgeon is the manager of the State College Spikes. He was at the University of Connecticut for several years. Then he moved from UConn to Virginia Tech, where he was the associate head coach and the pitching coach at Virginia Tech for 4 years. He was supposed to be the manager of the State College Spikes a year ago, but because of an illness with the wife of the pitching coach, she was suffering from breast cancer. The pitching coach for the West Virginia Power, the single-A affiliate of the stake of the Pittsburgh Pirates, he needed a leave of absence. So they asked Dave Turgeon to not manage here in State College last year, but to be the pitching coach at West Virginia. Being the good company man, he did. Now he gets his opportunity as the manager here. And, Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us. What about the chemistry you have with your ball club right now? What do you see?
I mean, a good group. We've been together for, you know, quite some time. They've suffered together down in the heat down there and extended early days, long days, a lot of work. So there's a basic cohesion with the club. We're adding on some pieces, Krumlick and Diaz and the kid Sampson, the pitcher from the junior college that had showed up today. So we're going to have these guys kind of trickling in as they sign, and that changes things too. That changes the dynamic in the clubhouse. But for me, it's all for the better. I like the idea of influx of new talent to create a little competition, raise the energy level, raise the intensity.
Everyone learns wherever they go in life. You're a product of the Yankee system. What are some things within the Yankee system that are ingrained in you that have helped you at this point handle a situation like this?
The first thing that always sticks into my mind in my Yankee experience was the professionalism, the belief. Once we signed, they let us know what the standards were. And they always held us to those standards. And so this culture, you know, that we're trying to create here is very similar to that. Change of culture, you know, with Clinton and the new regime, and those are all the things that really kind of align with my experiences as, you know, what I was brought up in. So my first, you know, foray into pro ball was, you know, they taught us how to wear the uniform, this is how you wear a hat, this is how you're early, you're not on time. This is how you run hard down the line every single night. You run on and off the field every single day. You look like this is how it looks. So that's the biggest impact that I go back to, and especially early in my, you know, Yankee career.
And between UConn, Virginia Tech, you're not far removed from being around collegiate players. Has that helped you in your adjustment to them and understanding how, in some ways, they think?
No question. In fact, I remember doing it, going from the college to this, but then to coach them, their mentality, their mindset, the wooden bat, the tendency for pitchers to pitch away all the time. There are many adjustments they're going to have to make. But before all that, they've never played 7 days a week. They've never come to work 7 days a week. That in itself, to figure out what energy level I need to have every day, how I need to take care of myself off the field to regenerate and get up and do it again the next day, and then maybe even deal with failure for the first time. Because a lot of these guys, you know, most of these guys are stars on their clubs, and that's why we signed them, and then they come here and pretty much everyone's pretty talented. So there's a lot of things going on. I understand all that. So the patience with the game is where I have a ton of patience with these guys. Professionalism, I want to fast forward that a little bit.
You also have certain edicts that you have to deal with from the Pirates. Pitch counts, number of games guys should play. I think the fans need to understand the constant communication you have with the big club as to how you're supposed to handle things here.
That's a good point. A lot of times, you know, when we look at the big picture, It's not always about wins and losses, and that's a tough thing for our fans to hear. Believe me, when we're in the dugout and the guys are on the field, they're playing to win to the tooth and nail, to the last out. Primarily, our job as player development people and in communicating with, you know, the front office, we want to make sure that our prospects get developed. And so sometimes it means even adjusting a batting order. Because when you project a batting order over a long period of time, you know, the bulk of the at-bats, you know, you need to kind of divvy those up. So it's not always about, well, who do I need to lead off, two-hole, cleanup spot, you know, speed at the bottom, these kinds of things. The lineups aren't always determined by that. The lineups are determined by player development and how we think that their interests are best served where in that lineup. This guy may be projected as a three-hole hitter in the big leagues, but maybe he's not ready for it here, so he may be in the six-hole here. But lots of different conversations that go on with that. And then, you know, on the pitching side of things, it's very similar. You know, it's about player development first and then protecting their, you know, health, obviously, and then teaching them how to compete and be a professional. But the competition thing, you know, they should know, the fans should know that one of the major things that we, you know, put on these guys in a short season is not about mechanics, it's about competing. So they do compete every single night. It's about competing.
Also, can winning, the development, can winning help development, especially the mental side of it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, when you talk, there's always this conversation that you have about, you know, it's winning over development. You know, winning is really, we don't talk about winning as much as we do taking care of the process. So if you do take care of the process and do the right things every day, generally the winning is the byproduct of that. So, but yeah, ideally, you know, the morale, the attitudes, to see a little bit of fruit of their labor, I think kind of keeps the ship afloat, keeps the ship moving forward. And at the same time, I think sometimes losses are good, you know, to teach lessons. They get that sick feeling. They need to understand, you know, what do we got to do to make that feeling go away and not let that happen again. If they don't fail, they'll never know those things. So I think a lot of the things, you know, winning, yeah, very good, obviously. But the losses also teach, you know, some really valuable wisdom.
What about you hanging out as a third base coach? You're out there at third base as a third base coach because you've been in all areas of this game. I'm not so sure how many times you've been in that spot. What was that like, and what ran through your mind that maybe didn't run through your mind before in a baseball game?
Well, I will tell you this. And the last time I was coaching third, maybe it was 2001 or two. And I got a chance to do it this extended and get out there and get a feel for it. But, boy, the air's a little thinner down there under the lights. The game's a lot faster. So it'll be good. The game will slow down for me as well, but, you know, especially after we get a chance that to get to know these guys. But very fun perspective. Feel more plugged into the crowd and the energy out there. It was fun.
And for you, last year, you made the sacrifice because you're a professional. It's what the organization needed, and you're a company man. But to now get the chance where it's your club, what's that feeling like?
It's a good feeling. I think that how I look at it every day is I feel very fortunate that Kyle Stark and our organization trust me. To lead a group of guys and to teach them how to be a pirate. That's how I view it every day. And I look at it as I get a chance to impact them as men, and hopefully by September they'll be professionals. And I feel very fortunate to be in that spot.
Also at the same time, Justin Message, the pitching coach, Dave Howard, the hitting coach, Austin McClune's here as well. Your thoughts on the staff and how they deal with the respective players and what you expect from them.
We have a great combination of personalities and styles and energies on our staff and experiences. Dave Howard has managed and coached in this thing for a long time. He has a ton of experience. So primarily he's with the hitters, but we all use Dave as a resource to throw things off of. So we've got a good give and take, you know, in the office, in the clubhouse, when we talk about different areas, especially Dave and I. You know, Justin Message played it at a high level, has been coaching in college level. He's a perfect guy to hand off these college guys to, transition them into this thing. He also brings a passion and energy that's just off the charts. And then Mac, you know, obviously Austin, not far removed from being a player. I kind of like having that gap filled. They have a different dynamic with the players. So I get a lot of stuff and background about players, you know, from Mac, and he gets a lot done, obviously, taking care of the base running, the outfield play, and all that stuff. So he's a valuable asset, and, you know, like they all are, but I'm very happy with the staff and what they bring.
Finally, I want to ask you about communication. Communication with players in English can still be difficult where you're trying to explain to them in a language they completely understand. Give us an idea how well the staff communicates with the Latin players who do not have the command of the language, and what kind of command you guys have of Spanish.
You know, I can tell you that I do okay with the language. Played in Mexico for a few years, and I can communicate exactly what it is that I want done or what it is that I'm feeling. I obviously can't talk about politics maybe in Spanish, but I think, and Mac has a very good command of the language. Mess is a work in progress. Howie has a good feel for the Latin guys. So the communication, the language thing, is a good thing. I think sometimes with English-speaking players, we talk too much. And so I think that really we get right to the nuts and bolts of what it is, and if it's just one thing, we make it about one thing. Sometimes in Spanish, I don't have but one way to say one thing. And then not to repeat it, but I think it's valuable for the Latin guys to have us around, maybe even with a limited, you know, language command. I think it doesn't muddy the waters as much. I think there's value to that. And I think, obviously, you know, they came from the DR, many of them Venezuela, a couple Panama, but they are getting weaned off of that, and I think it's the perfect kind of fit for that. You know, their English has come obviously a long way. So that's, I think, it's an important part of their development.
That's Dave Turgeon, the manager of the State College Spikes. And Dave, of course, managing the team this year. But I think that's one of the something I think people forget about is that they hear, for example, we had Lycan on the show, Jordan Steranko probably from Penn State will eventually be here, Barrett Barnes, you know, the pitcher, Jason Creasy. You talk about the Williamsport Crosscutters. You know, Brock Stasi was back for his second year with the Crosscutters. Had a couple of hits in last night's game. Talking to them is no big deal. But I think we forget sometimes about the Latin players. Oh, we get wowed by some of the things that they can do athletically, but the culture change is dramatic for them. It's shocking for them. They are going to communities. Let's face it, there's no Latin community here in State College. There's probably limited, if any, Latin community in Williamsport, for goodness sakes. The community is among themselves, and for 3 months they go someplace completely, quote, foreign to them, and they have to then, you know, play baseball and somehow be able to communicate what they want. Now, as time goes, they pick up the language. Some are a little bit better, and some are bilingual to begin with. But many of them are not. I know that's the one part of this that, in broadcasting minor league baseball, I can tell you the one part that I've always felt badly about is that the fans can't get a chance on our pregame show to meet the players because I can't communicate with them. We used to have a player, Jose Pele, who was here, who was a catcher, who was trilingual. He actually grew up in Montreal. And he spoke French, English, and Spanish. And we were able to actually get some of the Latin players on the show because he would translate their answers to the crowd. And that made the transition as media to players so much easier. It also made the transition with the fans easier because they could then at least get an interpretation of how that player felt. How, you know, because they don't know if they have an opportunity to sit down and talk with, if they have an opportunity to see a player from the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, or Mexico. And I think the fans in a certain area, whether it's Williamsport or State College, would love to know how they feel about the area, what they think is special about the area. But in the end, they end up being mysteries most of the summer because of the language barrier. Well, part of that language barrier absolutely must be crossed when you are the manager or the coach of the team. You must cross that because you have to be able to teach the game to them and make them understand how you go about your business and how the franchise wants you to go about their business. So the communication part, and again, you're talking about communities across Pennsylvania, smaller ones, whether it's Altoona, State College, Williamsport, not quite sure what it's like in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Harrisburg, or Reading, or even in the Lehigh Valley. I doubt there's a deep Latin connection. There may be some, but probably not a deep Latin connection in those communities. So they are now put in a spot where they're trying to play the game and move up like everybody else, and at the same time, they have to do so where they're the friends that they create on the team, that's their clique. That's the one they stay with because, again, they share the language, and they're basically the only people in the area they can talk to unless they have somebody that is bilingual along the way, and I've found that many of the players that have come through here have not been bilingual. So there's more of a transition, I think, than people realize. In the next hour, we're going to talk with Chuck Greenberg, the managing general partner of the State College Spikes. You probably saw Chuck Greenberg at one point on national TV. That was the first time the Texas Rangers went to the World Series. It was the year they lost to the Giants. And Chuck had been able to form a partnership with Nolan Ryan. And they bought the Texas Rangers. It took a long process to buy the team from Tom Hicks. And they finally were able to buy it. And he was able to be on the field, and he was the one that they handed the microphone to thank the fans in Arlington. Well, Chuck, at the same time of owning the Texas Rangers, still owned the State College Spikes, the Altoona Curve, and the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. The Pelicans are a Texas Rangers affiliate in South Carolina. Along the way, though, he did sell the Altoona franchise. He kept Myrtle Beach and State College, and then there was a parting of the ways with Nolan Ryan where he's now out of the Rangers situation. But he was quoted in the show as the managing general partner for a period of time, and he is still here running the State College Spikes at this stage, along with the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, who at one point were an affiliate of the Atlanta Braves but now are an affiliate of the Texas Rangers, and he's now out of the Altoona Curve completely. But we'll be talking with Chuck Greenberg, who has been on that national stage before. We'll talk to him in the next hour, along with broadcaster Joe Putnam, and we'll also talk to the general manager here in State College, Jason Dombach. It's not just talking about State College and minor league baseball. That's not what the purpose of this show is. It's telling you about the business of minor league baseball. What made minor league baseball so important in Pennsylvania? Why do the fans in our area enjoy going to Williamsport? Why do the fans in our area enjoy going to Reading? This year they can't go to Scranton Wilkes-Barre because they're refurbishing the ballpark up there, what's called PNC Park. So the Yankees have had to spend the entire season on the road. But Yankee fans are abound everywhere in our area. Our listening area has so many Yankee fans who, by the way, are thrilled right now. They've won 10 games in a row. But minor league baseball in this state did not flourish for a long period of time. It just didn't. In fact, minor league baseball did not flourish. It really wasn't until the strike, the Major League Baseball players' strike, where minor league baseball took off because it was the only baseball being played, and Joe Buzzis and a few others figured out that if we make it a fun experience within the park, we can keep the fans coming. Minor league baseball drew 45 million fans last year. 45 million fans across the country went to minor league baseball. There are 160 minor league baseball franchises. Well, we have a bunch of them in our own area, just in our own listening area, between State College, Williamsport, Reading, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Harrisburg. There's five. Then you reach out further to Lehigh Valley. You have Altoona as well, and you also have Erie. So you have plenty of franchises in the state, and it's been very important in the marketing. And I remember my friend Rick Berry, whom I went to Penn State with. We met the very first day at the Penn State Wilkes-Barre campus. Rick went on and has had a successful career in the financial world, and because he's been able to get his hands on some money, he is now one of the part owners of the San Diego Padres, and Rick and I talk all the time. And Rick called me up, I want to say he called me 2 years ago about this, that the Padres wanted to put their AAA franchise, take it out of Portland, and build a AAA park, which they would own, about 50 or 60 miles from San Diego. And he wanted to know, he was going into an ownership meeting, and he wanted to know what I thought about the idea. And I explained to him that from a marketing point of view, it's brilliant because it is the model that teams have been using for a long time. One of the first to use that model were the Red Sox. The Red Sox, of course, have Pawtucket. They have Portland. And at one point, they had New Britain or Bristol. They both were there. And now their double-A team is in the Red Sox double-A team is in Portland right now. And they have Lowell as well. And so they have, and again, New England, you have to look at New England differently than you do other areas. New England essentially is six states combined as one. That it really is because of the proximity. It's it takes you an hour to drive from Hartford to Providence. It takes you an hour and a half to go from Hartford to Boston. That's how close it is. So they have Pawtucket, which is less than an hour away. They have Lowell, which is 28 miles away, and they have Portland because Maine is a very important and fertile Red Sox area. And Portland, I believe, is no more than 2 hours away from Boston. So that's what they've done, and that's the model. You've seen the model now expand here into Pennsylvania. The Phillies have their New York Penn League team in Williamsport. They have their double-A team in Reading. They have their triple-A team in Lehigh Valley. Thus, fans have the opportunity to see players grow before them and then get to the major leagues. The Pirates have virtually the same situation where they have State College with their New York Penn League team, Altoona their double-A, but their triple-A happens to be in Indianapolis. But still, double-A is the make-or-break level. And the fact that you have both franchises have that double-A team within the confines of the state, and for the Phillies, the AAA team in Lehigh Valley, and we'll be talking with John Schneider tomorrow about Lehigh Valley and the Iron Pigs, that they have been able to, I think marketing-wise, get the job done. And that's exactly what I told Rick. I said, for marketing for the Padres, it's going to be a boom because you're a franchise that is not going to be built on free agents. You're a franchise that's going to be built from within in the minor league system. And to have your fans watch them in the minor league system and then grow to Petco Field, Petco Park, will make a big difference. Next hour, Chuck Greenberg, Joe Putnam, Jason Dombach at the ballpark, the Sudbury Motor Studio on the road. Mark Lawrence in the news next.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sudbury.